In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. St. John Chrysostom, in his commentary on our gospel passage today, points out that we must flee the glory of this world in our pursuit of God. So as he departs the multitude, these two pitiable blind men follow him, crying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." To be sure, the Lord is not indifferent to their pain and suffering, but he wants to heal them in private, thereby avoiding the vainglory of this world. His miracles always point men toward God and his kingdom, and they were never an end in themselves. So he tells them sternly to tell no man what had been done. Chrysostom also points out that the earnestness with which they sought the Lord definitely played a vital part in their healings as they cried out for mercy as they approached the Lord. They sought the Lord with a sense of urgency. It was not a casual pursuit. In their weakness and afflictions, they sought after the Lord's strength and might and healing. It's a great lesson in there for us, as we have various afflictions, obviously dealing with this pandemic right now, and other ailments that come our way. Not just physical ailments, emotional ailments. We can get disabled in many different ways. But the energy that comes from that, I heard Father Zacharias from St. John the Baptist Monastery say many years ago at a clergy retreat, that he tries to take the energy of our various, temptations, afflictions, whatever might be coming at us from the evil one, the forces of darkness. He lets that energy drive him back to the Lord. What a beautiful approach to that. Very helpful. These blind men clearly believed that the Lord could help them and heal them, and they persisted in their petitions to that end. But in the midst of their pursuit of him, he leads them to an even higher revelation and understanding of who it was they were beseeching healing mercies from. He said to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" A salient question for you and for me. Anytime that we approach the Lord with the various petitions, requests, prayers, do we approach him with this sense of faith, of unwavering faith, that we really and truly believe that he can deliver us? That is not an optional extra. That is necessary. That's our part of this deal. We have to believe. Now, it may be a faith that is weak. As we've talked many times before, "I believe, O Lord, help thou my unbelief." But what faith we have, we need to exercise it. None of this is going to be automatic. There is an interaction here, a synergism between us and God, and we have to do our part. Huria Janet and I were listening to an old homily from Father John Brome just a couple of days ago. And he was talking about doing the will of God. And he said in that homily, he said, doing the will of God usually is inconvenient. Usually it asks something of us that makes us maybe, takes us out of our comfort zone a little bit. These blind men weren't concerned about their comfort. They just knew that they had a malady that they desperately wanted to be delivered from, and they knew that our Lord Jesus could do that. As Chrysostom says, he did not say, "Believe ye that I am able to entreat my Father, that I am able to pray." That's not what he said. But this is what he said, "that I am able to do this." Do we believe that? In the midst of this pandemic, do we believe that he can protect us? And if we do happen to get this illness, that he can deliver us? What is His will? We don't know. But we have to do our part faithfully and exercise our faith and trust in Him, because He is completely trustworthy. And their response was, "Yes, Lord." They no longer call Him Son of David, by the way, but they soar higher, as Chrysostom says, and they acknowledge that He is truly the Son of God, not just a great prophet or teacher. He then says to them, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." He confirms their faith and shows their participation in this work of God, this synergism. Their words were not words of flattery, but of conviction brought about by the enlightenment of their soul. So we see in this case, as we have seen in many others, the Lord brings healing and enlightenment to the soul before He heals the body. Our Lord did not come in the flesh primarily to heal bodies. He came in the flesh primarily to heal souls. It is true, He is many, many, many times He healed many bodies, but it was always to the greater goal of the healing of the souls. Blindness that is spiritual is much worse than physical blindness, and that's hard to believe maybe for somebody that's blind. But what He gave these two men was more than just physical sight. He gave them spiritual sight. The eye of their heart was cleared up so that they could see clearly the kingdom, the King and the kingdom. But what of His command to keep to these two blind men to keep their healing to themselves? They are so full of thanksgiving that they cannot contain themselves, and they proclaim to the glory of God what He had done for them. They didn't do it throughout all the regions of the earth, but to those people that were around them, they were just overflowing with thanksgiving for the deliverance that they had experienced. They did not lift themselves up in some vainglorious way, but with overflowing thanksgiving, promised God for His mercy. And in so doing, they brought Him also one who could not speak due to being possessed by a demon. And the Lord cast the demon out, and this man was healed. The rippling effect, don't you know, of God's work in us. So what does this say to you and me on July the 26th, 2020? First, we must acknowledge our own blindness that leads us to aimlessly wander in this life without our souls being illuminated by the life of God. This is a very sneaky dynamic. The evil one very, very stealthily likes to lead us and entice us into affection for the cares of this world to the point that we lose affection for the care of the kingdom of God. Then we must earnestly and steadfastly seek God and ask that He restore our spiritual vision, realizing that without the noetic vision, we will surely stumble headlong and perish. We must also be patient in this pursuit and realize that God is the master and not we. And we must be reflective of God's glory in thanksgiving and deflective of any fake glory that comes from this fallen world. May His work in each of us enable us and those with whom we interact to see and hear from God those revelations of the heavenly kingdom, which will never end. May we seek Him with all of our heart, with all of our strength. May we be granted eyes to see, ears to hear. May we proclaim the truth of the gospel and the love of Christ, our true God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.